This is John 21, 1 through 14, and it is from the Jesus book, the Hawaiian Pidgin Bible. And then after that, Jesus went and let his guys go see him again. This one happened by Lake Tiberias. This what when happened. Some Jesus guys went got together, had Simon Peter, and Thomas, the guy they called the twin, Nathaniel, the guy from Cana, town Galilee side, and Zebedee's two boys, plus two other guys. Hey, I like to go fish. And they tell him, yeah, we like go too. So the guy went, go down to the beach, and they went go inside one boat. But that night, they never catch nothing. Then when real early in the morning and get only a little bit light, had Jesus standing there on the beach. But his guys, they never known it was him. He tell them, hey, what you guys will catch? They tell him, whitewash, no more nothing. Then he tell them, go throw the net over the right side. You're going to get plenty of fish there. They go throw the net and get so plenty fish, the guys no can pull up the net. Now me, I was there. I the guy that Jesus when got plenty love and aloha for. I went tell Peter, hey, that's the boss. When Simon Peter went hear that, he put on his shirt that he wouldn't take off before for work. And then he go jump onto the boat to swim, quick to the beach, because the boat only stayed about 100 yards from the beach. So then Jesus' other guys went rowed the boat back to the beach, dragging the net with all the fishes inside. When the guys went go out of the boat, they spoke one charcoal fire on the beach. Had fish on top and had bread. Jesus told him, hey, bring some of the fish you wouldn't catch over here. So Simon Peter go back inside the boat and he helped the guys drag the net on top the beach. Had plenty of big kind of fish inside. Was 153. And you know what? The net never even broke. No matter had so plenty fish inside. Jesus tell them, come on, you guys. Breakfast time already. His guys didn't know already was the boss. And they too scared for to ask him, who you? Then Jesus went go over there and take the bread and give him to his guys. Same thing with the fish. As was three times Jesus went left guys see him after he went come back alive from Make.
Thank you, Larry. So when Larry wrote me and said, do you mind if I do the scripture from the Jesus book, the translation into Pidgin? And we talked about it, and if you notice, there's a little bit of Creole and Cajun that comes in with Larry as well. So we kind of get all the pieces together of all those different pigeons, right, Larry? So thank you so much for sharing that. You know, this has been a week. For those of you that were able to be here on Wednesday night, your tears were flowing with that concert that we had from the chorale, the UH chorale. On Thursday, I was privileged to help to lead a memorial service for my Auntie Joan, who's 92, had passed away, tears flowing. Next day, I was asked to lead a memorial service for one of the members of Kapa'a United Church of Christ that had passed away earlier at 96 and was being buried at Punchbowl, tears flowing. Yesterday afternoon, one of the good friends of Kirsten and mine, his memorial service was at Diamond Head Memorial Park. Tears flowing, but none like yesterday morning when I had finally been able in the very, very busy week to carve out some space to pull together the various thoughts that I had for today's sermon and pull them into a piece. And then I get a phone call from Kansas, from Clara, that just 2 hours before Chuck had passed away. This man who had given so much to this community with his ohana by his side, with some on their way, with a new ohana of the people of Hospice of Kansas City gathered there with him. And he breathed his last and transitioned from this place where God has breathed into him from the very first day in which he is born, and continues to breathe now with him in the presence of the great beyond where one day we all come together. And I thought about what this I envisioned for this Sunday, and I realized that Chuck would be really pleased to see this altar. To see this altar. One part of the altar is filled with the food, with the very things that will make up the banana bread, the ulumaya bread, breadfruit and banana bread that is your communion bread this morning. Gluten-free. Those of you who have nut allergies, it does have macadamia nuts, so I'm telling you now, but no peanuts or anything else, so beware. He would have seen this gift of God's creation here, this gift of God's creation that feeds us, gives us beauty, connects us, and reminds us that we are indeed all a part of all that God has been created in this world, not apart from, that we are indeed creator, creator, creation, creature, all nested together as one, that we are integral and integrated, and that we have carry with each of us a special kuleana of responsibility, of reciprocity to one another, to care for one another, and in so doing, as we care for one another, to allow ourselves and all that God has created to grow and to thrive. And so he would have enjoyed seeing, I think, all these things here. So in that ulumaya bread that you will have, there is indeed coconut, as we have up here. There's coconut milk, there is coconut sugar, there is coconut flour. There is u'ala, sweet potato flour that we made. There is ulu, the breadfruit in flour and in some cooked breadfruit. And there is the ma'a, the banana there. And there is hu'omoa, eggs, locally grown eggs. And you realize that all those things that I just listed, except for the eggs, although they would have been, are what we call canoe plants. These are the very plants that the Polynesian voyagers brought from afar on their canoes for this place that they would go to settle in. The very things that they brought are the very things that we will consume. And I say the hu'omoa, the eggs, because they brought chickens, because they knew this is what the chickens would give to us. And then when they got here, they also found, and on the canoe as well, the pa'akai, the salt, the sea salt that was there. And then I realized, as I'm pulling all these elements together for this bread, the very things that also get added to the bread, macadamia nuts, grow right here. And the things that make up the gluten-free flour that was added to the coconut and the niu flour, the ulu flour, the u'ala flour, are cassava and brown rice and white rice flours, all of which, if not grown here, can be grown here. This bread that you will consume in a bit is bread that the only thing that is in it that could not be grown here is the baking powder that is used as a leavening agent. Everything else is there. And I realize Chuck would love to see all that. Chuck would love that this is May Day. And the lay that we have here, some of these lay that were given to me when I was installed here as a pastor almost 5 years ago, some that were bought for this special day, some that were part of somebody else's graduation. And the lay that have been such an important and integral part of life here in Hawaii that we celebrate on this day. You know, lay were throughout Polynesia, but it became a real art form, a real sort of central part of Hawaii, because part of the understanding of those early voyagers is that they were accompanied on that voyage by Kukuena, who was the older sister of Madam Pele. Kukuena is there who guided them in two ways. One, guided them through the navigation with the stars, but also guided them on what seeds to bring. And so there were seeds that were planted for food and seeds that were planted for medicine that were woven together in lei that were there on those canoe so that when they got here, they could be planted for health and for wholeness. And so when we gather in Hawaii and we celebrate the lei that are there, it is at a higher level. They are utilized to mark ceremony traditionally. So this maile, which is probably 5 years old, but still carries within it its shape, would have been used at a time to mark ceremoniously a time of peace when peace had come to a place. And most times in ancient times and traditional times when someone is giving a lei, you wouldn't do as we do now, which is to put a lei over a person's head because that puts you sort of in power. And then instead you would bow and lift the lei up so it is there at the height of their head for them to take it as given as a gift of humility. And all of the pieces of the lei woven together are a symbol of the way that love is woven together. So yes, for sure, all of these things on this table, I think Chuck is so pleased to see. But what do they have to do with that scripture that Larry read for us from the Jesus book? What do they have to do with it? Well, I ask you to think about this. The bread that you will indeed consume, hopefully, and all bread and all things cooked, those are symbols of connectivity. Those are metaphors of connectivity. The culinary arts are all about taking different things, disparate items, and applying heat and muscle and all sorts of other things. And you bring those different items together from their different places and they come together and they create something new, something great, something wonderful that was inconceivable without bringing those parts together, without connecting them through the culinary process. And the lei, oh my goodness. The lei, whether it is the vines, the vines, the flowers, the fragrance, the smell, the colors, all these things that come together to unite in a unique gift of aloha. The lei, too, is a symbol of connectivity. And so in that story, did you hear what happens? So here are all the boys who have gone off to go fishing again. Seven of them are named. They're in their boat, and they have thrown out their net. Go ahead and throw that up there, Chris, on the screen. The net. They have thrown out their net and got nothing. And then Jesus appears on the shoreline in the early dawn and yells out to them 100 meters away, "Hey! Hey! You get anything?" And they go, "Who that?" "No!" And he says, "Throw the net on the other side." And they throw the net on the other side, and all of a sudden, and there was this make. In Hawaiian understandings, the net is a symbol of God's creation. Every single cross point, every single connection of the net is a piece of God's creation, all connected together, whether it is a blade of grass or a mountaintop or a human being or a cockroach, whatever it may be. Everything that God has called into being is in this magnificent net that goes on all encompassing beyond our imagination. And when together, when that net holds together, it is a net of abundance. It is a net that can be unfathomable in terms of what it can produce and hold together. Consider, for instance, the Hawaiian people, the pre-Western contact Hawaii, probably a population maybe as much as 800,000 people who knew that they were indeed integral and integrated, that they were indeed a part of, not a part of all of the aina of that which was the creation that they were a part of. And they knew that they had that special kuleana of responsibility, of reciprocal responsibility to one another, and they cared for that net which was the creation, that it may care for them. And in that very process, they were able to feed here in the most isolated landmass in the entire entire globe, a population of maybe as many as 800,000 people. Not only that, they were able to protect those upland forests, of which we have lost more than 50% of them throughout the islands since Western contact, to protect those so that the aquifer could be taken care of, so that fresh water, vai, might flow into their bodies and into that which they did to share with one another. And here in this isolated place, there were thousands of plants and invertebrates and birds, species that did not exist anywhere else in the world, and the seas teemed with limu and coral and fish and mammals. And yet here we are now, and if indeed, one more thought, if indeed they had wanted to make Ulumaya bread, Kalo bread, Uala bread, and they thought they could make flour by taking all those things, cutting them up, grinding them up, and making flour, something they probably didn't do, but they could have because they had all of that in abundance. And now, post-Western contact, we have rent that net. We have torn that net apart with our greed and our selfishness. No longer are we able to feed a population here in Hawaii of all that is grown here. We import the vast majority of our food and our energy into this place. And still yet, even as we import all of that food, Alice, Linda, asset limited, income constrained, employed. The Alice report of those who are asset limited, income constrained, and employed says that one third of all of Hawaii is basically one paycheck away from being able to meet their bills, and 10% more are already there. Here in this place of abundance that once fed a people not only so that they would survive but thrive, we now have 42% or more of our population that is either not thriving at all or is one paycheck. And that great upland forest that should be protected now has 250 million gallons of fuel sitting 100 feet above that aquifer that could destroy the entire island were it all to come down. And those plants, those thousands of plants and invertebrates and birds that were unknown any other part of the world, we now lead the world in rates of extinction. That net that we had up on the screen has in fact been torn apart. And listen to what the scripture says. So in this story, Jesus says to them, throw your net to the other side. They throw their net to the other side, and all of a sudden it is filled with fish, and they work to bring it in. Any of you who have been to a hukilau or have watched a hukilau know exactly how essential it is if you are going to bring in that net that is teeming with abundance, that it requires cooperation, it requires collaboration, it requires working together. You pulling that net in. If this person over there is pulling too hard, or that person over there is not pulling hard enough, or we are not pulling in sync, the net will break. In the story with all of the abundance, John goes to tell us the point that with all of that fish in the net, it did not break. It meant that someone like Peter was going to have to jump into the water to help out. There in Lake Tiberias, 100 meters from the shore, he could stand. He could help to guide the boat. Someone else had to be on the tiller. Someone else had to be on the sail. And others had to be working that net so that those seven men could pull in that amazing catch and not lose it and not have the net broken. For that net to stay is one. It required cooperation, collaboration, working together. In fact, it required them having an eye on the prize not being just to bring in the fish. 153 large fish is far more than those seven and the risen Jesus could consume before it went foul. But this is Jesus who is in front of them. They have already learned, what do you do with abundance? You share your abundance. And so what are they doing there? They are working together, eyes on a prize, to bring that net in, for there is a community that can be fed. In order for that net that sustains us to not tear apart, we must work together, collaborate, communicate, cooperate, have an eye on that community in which it will be shared with. And so, in the last three verses of this scripture, which we did not hear, but many of you know this part of the story, Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Peter, Peter, you love me." And in most versions of the Bible, Peter says, "You know I love you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "First, feed my lambs. Feed the most vulnerable amongst you." And then Jesus again says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Jesus, you know I love you." In the Jesus book, it's really cool. The way that Peter responds in the Jesus book is he says, "Jesus, you know I'm your friend." Doesn't say, "Jesus, you know I love you." He says, "Jesus, you know I'm your friend," because actually in the Greek, Jesus uses the word agape, "Do you love me unconditionally?" And Peter responds with the word filio. "I love you as a brother. I love you as a friend." The Jesus book gets it right when they say, Peter says, "I love you as a friend." And the last time, after Jesus has now said, "Then if you have fed my lambs, now tend my sheep." To tend my sheep, you know the 23rd Psalm. Take the sheep, lead them beside still waters, make sure that they have food, pasture. Take my sheep. And then he says a third time, "To feed my sheep." And this time Jesus doesn't say, "Do you love me with agape?" He says, "Peter, are you my friend?" Jesus comes to where we are. But here's the thing. We think of love and we think of it romantically, or we think of it as some huge act that we have done, that's this heroic moment. But love oftentimes is the small ways in which we work together to tend those sheep, to feed those lambs. That is not one individual shepherd's task. That is the task of a community. To bring that net in, that is not the task of Peter. That is the task of that entire community working together. When Jesus calls us and says to us, "Do you love me?" it is a call to our ability to be together, to be united in cooperation with one another. So choose your metaphor. Choose your metaphor. Let it be the metaphor of connectivity that comes through food. All those elements coming together to make something new and magnificent. Let it be the metaphor of connectivity that comes from a lay, with the colors and the fragrances and the flowers and all of the twine and vine coming together as an offering of love to one another. Let it be the net connected together. Whatever it is, you choose your metaphor, but the metaphors all call to us in the same. We are connected one to all that God has created. One to God, one to one another. We are all connected. And so on that night that we celebrate, whenever we celebrate communion, and we think about that last night in which Jesus calls together the disciples, we think about that time and when he calls them together, they don't understand yet that what he's really calling them to is a new community. They think they're just there for a Passover meal. That's what this is about. But when Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it and pours the wine and he speaks to them, he is calling them to be the new community, the community of Christ, the community that will be the stand-in for him, that will be his very presence in the days to come. So indeed, as that community now, 2,000 years later, we gather together at this table and we remember that he took bread, and it probably was not Ulumaya bread that Jesus was taking back there in Palestine. But I can promise you, if he were around here right now, this is the kind of bread he would be sharing. Because it would be from the elements right here of the creation. And he took that bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and I actually was going to try and do this with coconut water, but I couldn't figure out how we were going to get that into your hands. So we used the wine that he used, and he took the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of salvation, my blood that has been shed for you. Whenever you take this cup, do this in remembrance of me as well." And so ministering in his name, I offer to you now these, the gifts of God for the people of God, bread and the cup. The Kokua team will come around. They've got cubes of the Ulumaya bread broken up. Remember, has macadamia nuts in it. So if you have a nut allergy, everything else is gluten-free. They will bring to you a grape for the cup. Eat. Here is the gifts of God for all of us. Amen.